Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit korin.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, welcome to Japanese. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of the New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are both broadcasting live from a studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli in the supermarket, but what is beyond the sushi? We hear dashi ramen izakaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, so I'll try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. And my guest today is Koko Kayoko Seo, Japanese beverage specialist and also a former musician based in New York. And Koko worked at the legendary Japanese cocktail bar, Angel's Share, in East Village, and is a certified sake and shochu advisor. So currently, she hosts a fun weekly educational happy hour at Bar Moga in West Village called Koko's Spirit. Sake is becoming popular, and we now see plenty of sake lovers worldwide, but there are other great Japanese alcoholic beverages waiting to be discovered by the known Japanese audience. And Koko is one of the few people who can teach you all about them. So today we'll discuss how Koko became Japanese beverage expert, what Koko Spirit is, what Japanese spirits you should try now, and much, much more. But quickly before we start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Also, if you have any ideas about the topics of the show or show guests, please let us know. You can email us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or akikokatayama.com. Now let's start our conversation with Koko Seo. Hello, Koko. Welcome to Japan Eats.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for having me here.
Great to have you here. So first, let's talk about your background. So I heard you are from Chiba Prefecture, mm-hmm. which is near Tokyo, and studied music in Japan before you came to New York. So what area of music were you specialized in?
I study classical music. I started playing violin when I was 4 and then started playing trombone since 10 to university. Basically studied classical, but I was so into jazz at the end of the time in the university.
Yeah. What happened to switch to?
Because a trombone player, female, that it's usually like very tough to get into like a professional orchestra or whatever, but in the jazz world, there's a lot of soloists and playing so cool. And then that's why it gives me the chance, I can be in there. Mm. And then the music is so beautiful, and then everybody has very deep knowledge about their sounds or like chords, and it's more like fascinated me too. Mm. Yeah.
Right. I think to me, jazz is more improvising and then mm-hmm. work with other people.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That's so. Also one of the other stuff. Like, I like them to communicate each other by notes. And then that's why the musician taught me a lot of essential stuff. It's very, very new for me. And so the classical music is just there, like it's written stuff. But like a live jazz and everything, it's very like a composition, more natural. Mm. That's why I was very interested in that one. Mm. But I was not the great musician. That's why I want to be more like a promoter or producer.
Mm.
That was my shift turn, or I'm trying to do more expand or introduce music for the other people in the audience. Yes.
Well, that's what you studied, the business side at the college.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm. So my major is music business, and I studied more business and also language, English, and also some governmental program, or how to manage a theater, and some a little physics, how the vibe, musical vibration goes to the different direction.
Mm.
So there's a lot of different angle we can be more a professional art promoter.
Yes. Interesting. Yeah, yeah. When you go to concert and you see musicians, but there's a lot going on behind it.
Yeah.
Right. So, I think what you're doing now seems to be more related to setting up the stages for many players, and you were so good at it. So I will talk about it in a minute.
Okay.
So when and why did you come to New York?
So first, I was crazy about jazz, and then I decided to come to New York to explore more experience about being jazz coordinator. Then, so I moved here without anything. I just had a big dream. I thought I could, I can conquer it. And then, so my very respected professor told me, if you want to do in this music business, you better to speak at least 3 different languages, Italian, German, and English. And then, okay, I'll start with English. And that's the reason to be here first time.
Okay, and then it was, when did you come?
It was 2000. 5 or 2006.
Mm. Yes. Okay. Mm. So it's a 12.
Yes.
Something like that. Right. Okay. I heard you worked for Hank Jones,
mm-hmm.
who was, of course, a legendary jazz musician. So how did you meet him, and what kind of job did you do for him?
Yeah. So I was seeking to have opportunity, even it's a very tiny one, and I keep telling the people I wanted to do this kind of coordination. Even I was dancing at some a club or drinking with my friend, and then I got a chance to work as an intern at the Carnegie Hall for Ikuko Kawai, the very famous beautiful violinist. Then I was helping to translate for the audio clues, because they have a very specific unions regulation. That's why they brought all the Japanese technicians to New York. That's why I was there as a liaison to communicate them.
Mm.
At that time, Hank was the guest player, and then I found his manager, and then I just go there and talk to her. I say how much I am so glad to work for them, and then so yeah, that's the beginning.
Yeah, so you must have really impressed her.
Yeah, I called her every day, and then I was I'm dating with her. She's very mature, the lady. But I'm always, in the neighborhood, would you like to have coffee, or would you like to talk about it? I was just always around her,
mm-hmm.
and then I just wanted to get the opportunity to work for her. Yeah.
Persistence. Wow, that worked out.
Yeah.
Right. So you, after that, you worked with Hank, coordination,
yes.
related to Japanese business.
Mm-hmm. So basically, my boss at the time, she was handling the Japanese tour or coordination with Japanese musicians. So every time he goes to Japan tour, I would with them and helping them. Sometimes I just carry a lot of bags, or helping them to take in a photo, or give him the specific color of the pen to sign his CD. So I did everything. And also when Japanese musician come here to record, make CD with him, I was helping the recording, or what related with him, because I can speak Japanese. So that's why all Japanese musician related thing, I work for him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wait, so how did you find him?
Oh, the Hank Jones?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Hank. So I found a lady who is working for him.
Wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, how did you like him?
Oh,
as a person,
I was so honored to, even just a very short time, work with him or work for him. And then he was one of the best talented musician and a very, very nice person. And he appreciated everything. So that's why I was so lucky. And still a lot of musicians told me he had a great time. So he's always so humble. That's why maybe my career right now, everything, I always remember how he see the world, how he treat the, all the fact he it's coming to him.
Mm.
So like he is a legendary musician and everybody knows, but he practiced every day more than 4 hours or like he always thanks for everybody. That is the best moment in my life to work for him. Mm, yeah.
Right. And you actually, your name in one of his CDs.
Right? Yes.
So it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Right. And then you worked for Angel's Share, mm-hmm. The legendary cocktail bar. it's really a mega of Japanese cocktail culture. And it's since I think it opened in 1993.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the Shingo Gokam, one of the top bartenders in the world, mm-hmm. was the head bartender there.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to the show on episode 54. Yeah. So, So why did you start working at Angel's Share?
Yeah, so the music dream job, it sounds very good, but it's so difficult to pay rent.
Mm.
And sometimes when I go to the tour with Hank, I have to take it off for 3 weeks. Then so I found a job at Angel's Share, and then Shingo is the bar manager, as you said, and then he's the only one let me to go to the tour because he's a big fan of jazz and a lot of his cocktail named after the jazz standard. So that's very good for me. That's why I started working there as a hostess, like Metal D.
Okay. Yeah. So what's you actually, what was you responsible at Angel's Share?
Yeah. So first I was helping them seating or greeting, and then it's very simple job at the first time, but also the bar is very small and all the operation is very complicated. At the end, I was most like handling all the table, how to welcome the VIPs, or sometimes people misunderstand I'm a manager because I am I'm talking very freely. But so I found that job is more important to support bartenders. So I don't make cocktails, but I want to make them to feel more easily to handle their guests or making cocktails or giving the best time for the best opportunity or experience for the customer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my role.
Mm. Yeah. Sounds like you learned from Hank's business and then applied it to Angel's Share.
Yeah, but also like I just love to talk to people and then that was my like best job.
Right.
Yeah.
So what did you learn from the experience at Angel's Share?
Angel's Share is so hardcore bar and it's really cool and I love that before I start working there, but also I learned a lot of hospitality and also they care about the details and how to treat the guest, customer, and all the small stuff actually matters. Then, so at the beginning, I didn't like cocktail much. So I was just there to making money to pay the rent, but I found something very interesting, making cocktail is very similar to the music. And then so sometimes like martini is very simple ingredient, only two ingredients, like a vermouth and gin or vodka spirits. But each bartender has a very significant different taste.
Mm.
And I found, what is that? And then, and at the time I realized, same as music, because music is just written on the paper. But who pray, when you pray, and who you pray with is going to change completely.
Mm.
That's why I found the similarity. And after that, I was so into to speaking or telling them about the story behind that.
Mm.
Yeah, that's how I learned all the cocktail and then bar or industry, like a hospitality industry there.
Mm, right. So the recipes are the notes and then you apply depending. So you have to make the best environment.
Yes.
For the cocktails to be shining to the customer, each customer.
Yeah.
Interesting. Right. And so you have a day job, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Investment banking.
Yeah, as an assistant.
Right.
Yeah.
And so you're so busy, but regardless, you have a fun educational happy hour.
Yes.
At the Bamoga called Coco Spirits on Wednesdays from 5 to 8.
Yes.
So, so first, what kind of place is Bamoga?
Bamoga is very cool place. Their theme is 1920-1930 Taisho era, which is the time Japanese people start wearing the Western clothes, and that's why their cocktail is based on a little bit related to Japanese ingredients, and also their bar, they have the amazing food. It's kind of yoshoku style. It's kind of became so popular at the time. They are mixing a Western cuisine to the Japanese style. So, and it's very cozy and then like nice area and the West Village. I really love there too. Work.
Right. So the Frank Cisneros, who came on episode 111, talked about his cocktail at Bamoga too, because he consulted for the program. So, and also Chef Akiyama, Takanori Akiyama, he's amazing. He's also other restaurants, and the land to the Sakamai, to many other projects. So he's amazing. The food is, the yoshoku, by the way, is a Western modified, but now if you go to Japan and you say yoshoku, that's a very specific Japanese style. Western.
Everybody loves the yoshoku style. Like, especially when your kids, like when you go to some department store and then they have some like a beautiful parlor, like a restaurant, and they have like omelette, like omelette with chicken rice, or like gratin with like mac and white sauce. So something very like a very comfort food, but it's a little bit like more like elegant, I guess. So that is very, very good food they have.
Right. Well, you mentioned omelette, but it's not just like omelette and rice, right?
Yeah.
Rice is wrapped carefully. It's very thin, beautiful omelette, which is kind of like test for chefs. So, yeah, I like that. So, but the Moga means a modern girl.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that kind of sounds like the spirit of you, too. Right. So, so what's on the menu at the Bar Moga in terms of drinks? What kind of beverages?
Oh, served? So they specialize the shochu, which is Japanese spirit, and also Japanese whiskey. So they are more focused on Japanese whiskey side, and then they have a big variety of that, and also shochu selection and the shochu variety, it's a lot. So there's like more than 20 shochu, and then more than kind of almost like a 50 Japanese whiskey.
Wow.
So yeah, that's they are trying to be more like, if you want to have more Japanese whiskey, oh, let's go to Moga. That's they trying to do now.
The Japanese whiskey is really hard to get right now in the market.
Yeah.
So that's the Bamoga is a place to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So so what's cocoa spirits?
Yes. So cocoa spirits is a happy hour event every Wednesday. And so I pick each spirit, Japanese spirit, for a month. And then so basically the 4 weeks we present one of the Japanese spirits. And then so we are talking about that a little bit, and then offer the very like a reasonable price, and sometimes we do the pairing, tasting flight, and also like we offer to have the highball, which is whiskey and soda, or like a shochu and soda. So I just want to give some new opportunity for the people who never tried it before. And that's the main theme. And then, yeah, it's been so much fun.
Right. So basically, if I was a customer going, you know, there's no seated area specifically for the program. You just sit anywhere.
Yes.
And you come over.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, you dress really nicely.
Yes. It's like a Moga style. Like.
Yeah, modern girl style. Yeah, I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. So anybody can go. And then, even if you have no idea about Japanese spirits, you can have it, right? So, yeah, I think it's important that sake is kind of the alcohol level of sake is around 17-18% wise, but shochu is 23-25, that kind of range, hovering around, and then whiskey, of course, it's over 40, right? So, yeah, that's the thing that I think bartenders tend to like more, rigorous and heavier alcoholic beverage.
Mm-hmm.
So sake is hard to make cocktails with it because it's kind of subtle.
Mm-hmm.
So shochu and whiskey are more into it. Right. And of course, you have cocktails, right?
So yeah, we do cocktails. When we found that it's very good to present the products that month, we, like a Moga's bartender, and they give a lot of ideas, and then we create a special cocktail.
Mm.
So this month, we are featuring Akashi whiskey, so we have old-fashioned.
Mm.
And then, but sometimes we thought it's better to have just a highball or neat on the rocks. So it depends. Like we are trying to do the best to give the opportunity for the people to like eye opening. Wow, this is cool.
Mm.
So and each month is a little bit different. But yeah. Mm.
So basically, the goal of Cocoa Spirits is to make people aware.
Yes. And then so I am so much enjoying to be like a first person to give them opportunity. So there's a lot of people had a deep knowledge about shochu and the whiskey, but I am also welcoming the people who doesn't know anything about it, or sometimes they say I don't like whiskey, but I'm so welcome them, because if I just talk about a little bit, or if I ask them what they feel like, and then so and I was there to sip with them. And then I want to see the reaction.
Mm.
And then so they say, oh, maybe this is not bad. I thought this is taste too strong, but I like it. So I want to give that new opportunity for the people who never tried it before.
Mm.
That's one of the main purpose to doing the Cocoa Spirit.
Interesting, because I think the menu, in the beverage menu there is really serious. And when I was there visit you, it was like all those industry people, Japanese industry people gathering.
Oh yes, that's a very funny thing. But I really enjoy that. I'm so happy. Like a lot of people came, even they already know, but that they want to have like some gathering and like just talking or hanging out there. Then so it's very good vibes, because I have a lot of friends in the industry. They come, and also they get someone who doesn't know about it. And then it's very mixed. It's very relaxed and freestyle. So I want to make more like comfortable like atmosphere for everybody.
Right. Yeah. So you can come with Japanese industry people or completely nothing as the newbie.
Absolutely.
Right. So if I was just the newbie, nothing about Japanese beverage. How do you, if I sit down, what would you say first to me?
So first, like I ask you what you usually drink, and if you, even it's like a Diet Coke or like green tea or anything, and then I'm going to try to profile what is your favorite taste. And also sometimes you want to have something refreshing, or you want to just sit down and sip slowly. So, and then I will give you some recommendation. Maybe you better to have whiskey, Japanese whiskey, or like maybe you better to have the highball with shochu. So it's very like fun to have a lot of different drinks, but it doesn't have to be like a one way. That's why I always want to customize like how you feel, like same as jazz, like kind of collaborating how you want to do at the night, and then that's gonna be like different for everybody.
Right. So that's like playing a jazz depending on the customer, the audience.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned each time you have a theme, that you had Akashi whiskey this month, but what else? What kind of themes did you have in the past?
Yes, the first month I had Suntory Toki whiskey, and that is a beautiful blended whiskey. And then we just want to use like a big name to have the bright opening. Then it's also...
When did you start, by the way? What's the month? First month?
First month was 3 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then I was like so excited, and then so maybe Toki is the perfect, because that whiskey is actually like very good for highball. And then I want to tell the highball more people, because it's more easy, the gateway for the people who doesn't like whiskey. So because it's very refreshing and a low alcohol percentage, because we use a lot of club soda.
Right. Well, yeah, maybe you can explain a little more about highball, because Japan highball is like the name. Every single person knows what highball is.
Yeah.
But here, it's a highball is a shape of cocktail, like mm-hmm. long
yes.
glass. Uh-huh. So highball specifically in a context of Japanese whiskey, what is highball?
Highball is simply a whiskey and a craft soda, or something like a spirits, hard liquor and craft soda, but sometimes we use the term for the shochu. Then Chuhai's high come from highball. So shochu highball, making short one and the Chuhai. Mm. So basically it's a very simple cocktail, but it's very easy to drink. But also Japanese mixology bar, they make that very carefully. And then I think that it's a beautiful cocktail. But yeah, sometimes they do the lemon twist. Sometimes they do orange peel twist, or they put in a glass. It's a very simple drink, but yeah.
And it's one of the few spirit-based drinks that you can drink with food.
Right? Yes.
Because it's light and...
Yes, exactly. So now people consume highball, which is like whiskey soda, as beer. Because a lot of people on the diet, they want to cut the sugar, and then so whiskey is distilled, so there's no guilty. And then so it's a very good pairing with like a fried food, like a karaage, chicken, like a fried chicken, or everything. It's going to be so easy to pair with food. That's why it's very popular in Japan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you featured a Toki. Toki is a lighter style, right, compared to Yamazaki or
yes. Hibiki. And it's also a little citrusy, but also it's used hakushu and chita. So they have a little like smokiness a little bit, but in the finish has a little like a honey taste. So it's very refreshing. So some people say it's kind of lighter, but I think that's great to make a highball, because highball has a lot of carbonation bubbles because you're using the club soda. And then each little bubble brings up the aroma to your like nose, and that's going to be great to have a lot of complex refreshing taste or like a flavor. So that's why I think that is a great opportunity and a great starter to start cocoa spirits. Yes, that's amazing whiskey. I like it.
Right. Yeah, sounds like perfect for this heat.
Yes.
Right. And what's the second month's theme?
Second month, because my soul is go to the shochu, so I pick authentic barley shochu Ichiko. And the time I pick Ichiko Silhouette and also Ichiko Kurobin. And that is very carefully made barley shochu, but it has a significant differences, those two. And then if you are very new for shochu, maybe you can have more enjoyable moment to pair or compare those two. And I picked that one, and a lot of people try the first time, but they enjoy, especially like Kurobin is made of old koji shochu. So usually they start the fermentation with koji, and then they add a second ingredient. But Ichiko Kurobin is used koji again for the second fermentation, means they have more sugar content before they distill. But it's very smooth and silky, and a lot of people say, like, oh my god, I never tried this, but it's so smooth. And then, yeah, that was beautiful shochu. Yeah.
Smooth, but sounds like it's more intense flavor.
Yes, but it's very subtle. It's not too much. It's barley, but they are carefully trying to make like a more elegant, more subtle. So that's why it's not too much, but it's easy to drink. Yeah.
Wow. That's fun. But, you know, picking up those fun themes, how do you do that? Do you get a sponsor, or how... You can have...
Yeah, so basically the MOGA is supporting this event because that is the purpose. They want to expand more Japanese spirits. Then so we are always discussing the Bar MOGA's management team and also like bar staff. Then sometimes I got offered, but I just pick whatever I think is going to be very interesting. And then so after that, they support me how to manage that. So it's very kind of easy way to it's more like a naturally, like there's no force to do next month.
So you're like a composer. Right. We talked about, you know, the highball, but you know, there are many different types of drinking spirits, from Don the Rocks to Neat to highball. Mm-hmm. So do you have any rules to suggest this whiskey should be this one? And
yeah,
that one?
So maybe there is rules for, like, maybe it's better to ask like experts. But for me, like, when I see like a drinking, it's like the same as music. I told you before, so it's very freestyle. So I don't think there's any like specific rules. So if you don't like it, you don't just like it. Then, so like if it's Bango, everybody said it's supposed to be very good, but if you don't like it, it's okay. So that's the art. And then I want to see the drinking style in the same way. So if you feel like you want to head on the rocks, but if someone said, oh, it's better to do the highball, but it's both like correct, both true. Yeah, so that's why. But sometimes if it's like a very cold winter, it's better to have like a neat and enjoy to sip slowly. Mm. And if it's very like hot day, like summer, like I recommend just a highball to just cool it down.
Right.
Hot air. Yeah.
Interesting. You just said slowly, but I heard that you made a playlist to pair with the drinks. Right. Yeah. So how it sounds like a speed related, some kind of.
Yeah. So, music is very important for the environment when you are drinking or like enjoying food. And then, so when I work at the Angel Share, like I have kind of secretly experimental stuff. And if I play the music, high temp, people move in like a high temp. Mm. And then if I put the slow jazz, and then people are just speaking very like low voice, and they're moving very slow. So, and then I pick my music list to attach more like a comfortable feeling, not too noisy, but it's not too slow. Like I don't want to make them sleepy at the bar. So yeah, this is very interesting for me to match or like a pair with like drinks and then music.
Interesting. Because I think the ambience of a bar is more focused by, you know, any reviews or anything, but yes.
It's very important. And the, you don't notice, but if you have the nice music, if it fits the occasion, you feel like more relaxed and you don't even know, but maybe deep in your mind that you're brain is listen to the music and it's gonna makes you so happy. That's what I believe. Yeah,
right. Okay, so let's take a quick break here, and when we come back we'll talk about what Japanese spirits to drink now, so including new gin, Japanese gin. So please stay with us.
Today's program is brought to you by Korin, supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Korin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they're located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Korin's unique store in Lower Manhattan is home to perhaps the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan, plus the rarest natural sharpening stones and exquisitely designed tableware. They also host special events such as knife sharpening demonstrations and parties with New York's most famous chefs and restaurateurs. Korin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the implicit and elegance of Japanese culture to your table, be it in your home or in the finest restaurant. For more information, visit korin.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, and my guest today is Koko Kayoko-seo, Japanese beverage specialist and former musician based in New York. And Koko hosts a fun weekly educational happy hour at Bar Moga in West Village called Koko's Spirit. So let's talk about some of the spirits that are not known enough outside of Japan. So first, your favorite, shochu. Mm-hmm. What is special about shochu?
Shochu, that's beautiful drink. That is very special because technically it's distilled only once to keep their natural aroma, like a natural ingredient aroma. And then so that's why you can taste more like sweet potato or barley, buckwheat. Sometimes they use a green tea. There's a lot of different variety of shochu. And then, but because it's distilled only once, alcohol percentage is not high as like other spirits compared to the tequila or vodka. So it's 25. It's still a little like smooth. So this is a very rare spirit you can pair with food. And also you can drink in with hot water or like a cold or neat. There's a variety way to drink. And then it's also very healthy because it's distilled in low sugar. And then some research said like it's going to prevent the blood clogs. And then so, yeah, it's also like very, very tasty. And that's Japanese like more popular drinks. Like sake is loved a lot of people, but shochu is consumed a lot of people in Japan still. Like, yeah, that's shochu. That's my favorite, my love.
Okay, and your ancestry.
Yes. Yeah. So my mother from Kagoshima Prefecture, and then so because mother is from there, so all the home cook is like a very match with shochu, and then my family drinks a lot of shochu, and I grown up only with shochu, so I never had a chance to have wine or sake at home. So yeah, that's my very natural drinks. But when I come here, no one drinks it. That's why I say, oh my god, you know. And then so now that's why I want to introduce that one a lot of people. And then so that's my like a childhood or like my background for the shochu.
Right, so Kagoshima is one of the prefectures in Kyushu where not sake, but shochu is made mainly.
Yes.
Right. So is Kagoshima mainly for potato shochu?
Yes, mainly potato, because Kagoshima has a live volcano. It's Sakurajima. So that's why the ash is on the soil, means it's not good to make nice rice, but it's very good to make sweet potato. Mm. And the same as Peru. Peru has like that's Andes Mountain. Mm-hmm. So it's very like ash, and the soil is kind of similar. And then they imported it, and then they start growing it. And it's they have a lot of like sweet potatoes, so easy to make shochu. So
another project for you.
Oh yeah,
open a shochu distillery in Peru.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They have like great ingredients, right? Like thousands, like 4,000 potatoes or
yes.
something.
Yes. Oh my god, that sounds cool. Right? Yes,
and they have good music too.
Oh, great, great.
We'll talk about that, yes. later. Right. Okay, so when I visited Bamoga, you gave me a taste of an interesting shochu. Mm. It was a new product by Ms. Shochu. And it was green tea flavored.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it? It was very interesting.
Yeah, so the Ms. Shochu, I've known them, and then they are very successful brand to expand opportunity to collaborate with a lot of bartenders. And then so there are a lot of cocktail made with Mizunomai shochu. And then but a green tea one is very new. And then so one time I try it and I said wow, because you can taste actually like green tea a lot. And then they are like carefully make it, and then they successfully to keep the aroma as much as possible. And then so they use very nice green tea leaves. So I did a little like homework, but I asked them, and then so like there's a lot of different story of how they started a green tea culture. But one of the story is some very noble monk brought back to Japan from China, but the first place they land is Kyushu, like Saga. Then so their shochu is made in there, so that's what they're trying to like a mariage with something come from the same area. And then so that's why like the green tea, and then also their Japanese craftsmanship, like they are trying to carefully to how to make a great taste of it. And everything is in the bottle. That's why it's so so interesting. It's very tasty. And then so last night we tried, like, you can taste like a little, like a cocoa. Mm. Like more like a chocolate flavor.
Right, exactly. Yeah, mm. Yeah, you don't expect from a green tea mm-hmm. image, but this definitely was like a dark chocolate
yes,
flavor.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I mentioned it because I think I'm so used to traditional style shochu, mm-hmm. but flavored style
yes,
is something yeah. happening uh-huh. in Japanese uh-huh. shochu world. So that's very impressive. So anyways, so now Japanese whiskey mm-hmm. is very hot in the market. And yep. Some of them really hard to get.
Yes.
Right. So you said you have 50 labels
yes.
at the Bamuga right now?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Like technically like 45 different kinds, but I think they're adding more. But I think that is one of the best selection or best lineup of the Japanese whiskey.
Mm.
Then, so yeah, like famous Suntory products and also like Ichiro, and then Taketsuru or like a Nikko product, and there's a lot of things. It's so, sometimes people think I just love Yamazaki, but there's also a lot of beautiful Japanese whiskeys, and then basically they are like very try to make beautiful harmony. That's like how we, like a Japanese product, everything basically. So it's more smooth and easy to start someone who doesn't like whiskey. Mm. And also I believe that they use like a soft water, like a compared to the Ireland or like England, and the water quality or it's a little different. Mm. That's gonna give you like a new experience to have whiskey. And mm. then yeah, that's I want to try them all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I you know, the, if you just look up a Japanese history of Japanese whiskey, it's mm. only from Suntory, Nikka, those, you know, yes. the uh-huh. two players. Mm. But now, I don't exactly, but there are like 25 distilleries now in Japan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot.
Yes.
And it's mm-hmm. very quickly expanding.
Yeah, and because first of all, like, it tastes really good, and also like the way they make whiskey is, I think it's more attached to the Japanese people, like a craftsmanship or like something to make it so deep, like art. Like Japanese people always try to make it the best of the best, and then so that's why like it's expanding, and then but also like Suntory made a big like bringing like everybody to the higher level, because they are like expanding not only Japanese people but also like North America or different countries. Yeah, so it's blossoming, and then I'm so happy about it.
Mm, right. And actually episode 118, Dave Broom, mm-hmm. who wrote The Way of Whiskey.
Yes,
whiskey,
yes.
Mm-hmm. He came and talked a lot about it. So yeah, see what happens in the world of Japanese whiskey from now.
So you mean like what's there,
yeah, I mean, you know, it's, you never know, right? So, for instance, if you pick your favorite of mm-hmm. Japanese whiskey, mm-hmm. which one right now?
Right now? Oh, maybe, like, because I am using that for my event, like Akashi.
Mm.
And then, so every whiskey has a beautiful story behind, but now I study a little bit more about the Akashi whiskey, the distillery. And then, so, like, it's a very small place, but they carefully make it. And then, yeah, that's my favorite, because it's a little smoky, mm-hmm. but it's not too sharp. But in the finish, it has a little sweetness, and the price range is not the crazy high. So that's mm-hmm. why you can enjoy anytime. And it's very easy to drink and with your friends or like party, and then that's the one for me to pick right now.
Yeah. Okay, right. So let's keep discovering about
yes.
Morgan. Right. People say though, like Japanese whiskey is somewhere between Scotch and even bourbon,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think the style is more diverse.
Yes,
right. Mm-hmm. Every maybe a year.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah, let's see what happens with the Japanese whiskey.
Yes.
So I heard that what comes after Japanese whiskey, maybe gin.
Yes.
So do you have any brand that you recommend?
I am planning to present next month or like next week at the Coco Spirit. It's Kinobi Gin. it's made in Kyoto. And then that is so cool to make gin because they are using the technique or like the way to make gin is like a blended whiskey. So and then they're making like spirits. It's using the local ingredient like ginger or shiso leaves or like sancho pepper or yuzu, and then the last bottle has a juniper berry, which is a definition of the gin. Like you have to use a juniper berry. Then, so they blended all the different flavor as one. Mm-hmm. So that's why it has like a beautiful complex and then also like very subtle. It's very different level of gin. I love it. So that's my recommendation.
Right. Yeah. And I heard the spirit itself is made of rice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's very different.
It's very different. And also they using Fushimi water, which is very famous for sake brewing. And then so that's why like a water quality is amazing, and they using the rice and then using the Japanese products. So it's kind of harmony of all the stuff they have in Kyoto.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also tried the Suntory Tsuboku, and I don't think it's here yet in this country.
Yeah.
But they feature four seasons, and then they have same idea, but they have sakura cherry flowers, and sencha gyokuro, sancho pepper, yuzu, and all those good stuff. So yeah, so gin might be the next Japanese gin might be the next thing. Okay. So by the way, you have both sake and shochu advisor certificates. Mm-hmm. So how did you get them?
So first, my friend Jessica Misaki USA, and then so she gave me a lot of opportunity to drink like nice sake when I hang out with her. Mm-hmm. Then so I started interested in sake, and then I took the sake advisor first. So that was a great opportunity for me to learn how to actually make it. And then so after that, but I always drink a whiskey, and then I love shochu. And one of the person said, "Oh, Coco, why don't you take a shochu one?" And I said, "Okay." Then shochu just clicked in my heart. It's just so like bringing back all good memories with my grandparents. And yeah, now I can have both knowledge. That's why it's so easy for me to like explain to the people if they don't know about it at all. Yeah, that's very good things for me, like last year, to take those both certificate.
So for listeners who are interested in taking the certificates, how do you do that?
So you apply through like SSI, which is an organization like supporting shochu and the sake advisor, and also like sommelier course. Then so they will give you the textbook, and then you study. It's better to study because it's a little complicated. Then the day you're going to have the instructor, and then you get the class from 9 to 4, then you will have the exam. And then so it's 100 questions. After 75, you pass.
Okay. So, and it's the, I think the details is that Sake School of America.com.
Yes.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. SakeSchoolOfAmerica.com. That's one word. Right. So it's one day, and then take
the... one-day course. But also, it's involving a lot of tasting. So you better be careful, because that's when I do the shochu advisor course, I just don't want to waste everything. And then I try to finish it, and they, I feel like, oh my God, it's lunchtime, but I'm a little tipsy. So drink water well.
Right. Okay, that's a good tip. So, I heard that you went to the Tales of the Cocktail last month, which is the world's biggest cocktail event held in New Orleans annually.
New Orleans, yes.
So, how were Japanese spirits featured there?
Oh, actually, like, there is more people knows about shochu when I go there. And then their reaction is very good. Like, sometimes I see the people say, that's no good. But shochu, when they try it, they always give very nice, like, a positive opinion. So, and then Japanese shochu maker, they try to expand their market in U.S. That's why they have a lot of like little stickers or like nice ornaments, and then that's very good way. But so because but not everybody knows about it, so that's why I want to help them to get the opportunity for a lot of people. But yeah, it's. Like it's surprising for me to see a lot of people knows about it.
Mm. Yeah, right. By the same token, Japanese people not to be showy about. They're not so good at explaining, communicating verbally.
Yeah,
right. So maybe that's something you're good at.
Yeah, I really want to do so that when I went there, I just start talking the lady who come from Texas. A lady working there, she has no idea about it, and then but she just wanted to try because it looks very nice at the booth. And then I explained to her about the difference and how they make it, and then we tried a lot of like a 5 or 6 different shochu, and now she's like so like crazy about it, and then she's trying to make some cocktail with shochu in Texas, and it's really cool. I think, yeah.
So of course you have the cocoa spirits. But what's your plan for the future?
Future, I want to be the person who talks about shochu all the time. And then also I want to make a bigger community that people can share the information and drink it together. And also I think learning friends. And then, yeah, so and also like I want the Japanese people knows about it's also popular in the U.S. It's like it's gonna be it because it's very nice product, and then so the usually like a shochu is for like a party or like relaxing each other, they get to know each other. So that's why I really want to hope to make bigger saga of shochu with me.
Right, so the platform could be events or bars.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Or you can open on your own shochu bar.
That's going to be really nice. Right. Yes, I want to do more events, and then some in the future I want to do some like a lecture, like one-on-one, very easy stuff. And then also I want to do some pairing, food pairing. Yeah, there's a lot of thing I want to do, and also like with music, and then yeah, this is my dream. It's going to be very nice to do everything together.
Right. Yeah. What's special about it is that the way you look at the whole spirits, the world of spirits, combining in the sense of audience through music, I think that's very important.
Yeah. So that's why Cocoa Spirits name, we took a lot of time to decide how we're going to name the event. So, and then, like, we can call it a Whiskey Wednesday, but it's supposed to be only whiskey. And then how are we going to do? Okay, so spirit is spirit, and also my personality or, like, my life or what I wanted to do.
Right.
So that's a great name, I think. I love it.
Right, you have very good spirit. So. Okay, so for listeners who are interested in come and see you, so could you tell us again the details of the Cocoa Spirits? Well, how can we find it?
Yes, so we are having a happy hour event every Wednesday at the Bar Moga, West Village. And we present each different Japanese spirit the month. And then so you can have a special price neat on the rocks or highball or some special cocktail, depends on the spirit. Then it's very relaxed place. You just come in and get seats and talk to people, and we have amazing food, and then I pick the music. So please come anytime. I'll be there every Wednesday.
Great. Okay, and details, it's barmoga.com.
yes.
Okay. barmoga.com. Okay, so good luck and keep me posted.
Yes.
All right, so thank you for joining us today, Kaka.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for show topics or guests, please contact us at japanneeds@heritageradionetwork.org or kikukatema.com. And Japan Needs is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. And our engineer is David Satoshore. And thank you for listening. And we'll take a summer break, and we'll be back on September 10th. Have a great summer, everyone. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.